It's the WIP, what? WIP Afternoon Show. I forgot what our show was. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. The Summer of Shellfish is back. You can check out the full menu along with summer specialty cocktails at ChickiesandPete's.com. Joining us now, as he does every Friday at 3 o'clock, is Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at RobinFord.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, how you doing, buddy?
What up? I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in forever. Excited you guys are having me on.
Elliot, are you an
We do it every Friday, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, Elliot, normally I see you guys between Tuesday and Friday, and I haven't, so.
Yeah, that's like a good point.
Yeah.
Were you down in Sea Isle with all of the Jason Kelce stuff?
Yeah.
I was not, but it looked like it was a wild time.
Yeah, it felt like I'm actually surprised at that. Would have been a great content situation for you.
I know. Could have gotten some good stuff for my TikTok and all that, but no, unfortunately, I was not down there.
Elliot, what do you think about Jack's idea or Jack's supposition that you are an Eagles elitist, but that many fans in this city are Eagles elitists, and it's impossible for them to discuss the team without, like, comparing it to the Eagles?
Yeah, I think Jack's just wrong. I mean, this whole
of course.
Idea of being an
classic
Eagles
elitist mentality.
Well, it's like why are people an elitist? Because they bring up they won the Super Bowl, because they point out correctly that they're better than the Phillies and the Sixers. I mean, that's just factual.
It's the tone, though. It's the tone.
Well, I just think, honestly, I think it's only the tone to you because you find it upsetting when teams are better than the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that for my entire life.
Right. Well, that's the rough part of having the Phillies be your number one team. They're not very good. But, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, but I don't
Elliot.
Think it's elitist. I think it's just correct.
Well,
it can be both.
Yeah. No. Like, I don't think. Well, no, hold on. I don't think because the Eagles are better, that necessarily, like, there's a difference between it being right that they're better and it also shading your conversation about the other teams. I think those are two different things.
Well, I just think they're so much better right now, though. So I would agree that, look, the Eagles are better than those teams, and that doesn't mean that the other teams can't win anything. But I do think right now the Eagles are operating at a level much, much higher than either the Phillies or the Sixers.
Could I give you an example of it, and then we can move on, because I didn't plan on talking to you about this anyway. You the other day had – I wasn't being dismissive. I just – like, it wasn't on our list of things. But
okay.
You the other day suggesting that the Phillies, who are now a half game out of first, trade Kyle Schwarber and Zach Wheeler and start to rebuild. That is a little bit of an Eagles elitist kind of take.
So I don't see the Eagles connection to that, and I understand they are not going to blow it up, and I get that why they wouldn't, but I do think it would be the smart thing to do, because they're likely not going to win the World Series, and this is your last chance to ever get value back for Schwarber and Ranger, because they'll be free agents. So I get that it's a you know, somewhat wild opinion to have, but I do think it's correct, and I think when they eventually lose in the playoffs, we will have all wished that they would have capitalized on those players.
Well, I mean, shouldn't any team do that then? That isn't the favorite to win the World Series?
Well, I think the Phillies are in a bit of a unique spot. This is the end of the road for this team, right? I mean, so if you think about if all these guys on the team were 26, 27, then yeah, then that would be different, because it would make sense to re-sign Schwarber. If Ranger wasn't 30, that would be different. But because of where this team is in, you know, kind of their process, where the window is basically closed, it wouldn't. That's why I think it's a bit different. If your core is young and you're going up, then you don't trade. But when you're obviously going down, that's when I think it makes more sense.
Elliot, Pro Football Focus brought out, and I'm sure you did this on Go Birds Daily. I didn't hear it if you did. Pro Football Focus listed their top 10 returning head coaches, and Nick Sirianni was listed as 8. Do you feel like that was a fair ranking?
So I do think he belongs in the top 5. I think that, you know, with both him and Jalen, there isn't an obvious feeling to feel like they're being slighted when they're not ranked super high. I think with head coaches, there are more legacy head coaches right now than there are quarterbacks. If you just look at ones that have clearly accomplished more than Sirianni, have done it for longer, I mean, there are a few of those. Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Now, will I take them over Sirianni right now? I think that's an interesting debate, but I think you would have to put them ahead of Sirianni for that. And then McVay, you know, he's also won a Super Bowl. Sirianni does win more games than McVay does. He also beats McVay all the time. But I don't think that's an egregious one to have. So I think 8 is too low. I wouldn't put Shanahan ahead of him. But I don't think he is absolutely should be in the top 3 like Jalen should be.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a lot different. I would have him in front of Harbaugh. And, you know, I love John as my old coach. Mike Tomlin, I think, is more living off reputation than actual results. Hasn't won a playoff game, in 9 years. Neither one of those guys called plays, so they don't have that advantage over Nick Sirianni either. Jim Harbaugh, I don't give a damn that he won an illegal championship at Michigan when he was there. He didn't win anything when he was in the NFL. He hasn't won. He got his team to the Super Bowl a decade ago, and his brother beat him over a decade ago, and his brother hasn't gone back to the Super Bowl either since then. Nick Sirianni's gone to 2 Super Bowls and has the highest winning percentage in the history of any other coach in the league right now. How can he not be a top 5 head coach? It's a what have you done? It's a what have you done for me lately league.
Yeah, so I think based off that list, and I think with Jalen, I don't know, like he'll have to win a lot more, in my opinion, for the national audience to kind of put him high up. I think with Sirianni, that could change quickly, and for the reason I think that is because if you look at the offensive coordinator this year, that is clearly Nick's guy. I think that the reason Nick is dinged on these lists is because he's viewed as, you know, not being the schematic guy, not being, you know, he doesn't call plays. But this year, while he might not be calling plays, it is clearly his guy. Like, Kellen Moore was not his guy. If the offense is good this year, if they win 80% of the games again this year, if they have a deep playoff run, I don't know at that point what you would hold against Nick. So I think that with like his right-hand man in power now, I do think this could be the year where if they're good again, you see him go up on the floor.
Yeah, this is the last pushback against what you're saying because it's coming from you. It's just me reacting to what you're saying. If that is a narrative, that's BS as well. That's BS. Like, it's about what people's perception is of Nick Sirianni. And quite frankly, because I can't dance around it, I'm not smart enough to articulate a way of tiptoeing around this, they don't think he's very smart.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. Because Tomlin doesn't call plays. That's not his defense. He's not an offensive guy. He's had multiple defensive coordinators out there in Pittsburgh. He's barely been over 500, right? Like, he's pretty much there because of the sort of structure that the Steelers organization is, that they don't fire coaches very often out there. But any other place, he could already make a case that he could be gone. Just because you don't have a losing record, that's not the standard in the NFL. And then my guy John Harbaugh, he's had high expectations, and quite frankly, he's had good enough teams and have not met expectations.
Yeah, I think generally, I think what it is that nationally, like
they think he's a goof.
Well, that is, and by the way, he can come across as that, which I understand. But I think nationally, like the soft skills when I say soft skills, I mean leadership, culture, all those sorts
exactly.
of things. They're very. I think they're just much more difficult to understand if you're not paying attention to the team every day. I think we have a better concept of
yes.
what he is good at in that respect than many national people.
The guy
would
has
have.
Had to navigate in this city 3 situations where there's adversity to overcome. 2 out of the 3, he succeeded. His first year, he pulled them out of a 2-5, 2-7 start, whatever that was, got them to the playoffs. He didn't succeed in 2023 when they had adversity. But the way he bounced back from that, and then the first month of last year to go on to win the Super Bowl, I mean, this dude, it's not like he's had a cakewalk to success. He's been put to the test. He's been put to the test by his own players, by us in the media. And the dude still succeeds. I don't understand how the guy doesn't get respect as a coach in his league when, quite frankly, managing personalities in today's NFL, where so many teams crumble with star power because of egos and everything else, and even coaches that have egos, this dude has shown flexibility, the willingness to let other people come in, and quite frankly, perception that he was demoted from a play-calling standpoint, and still be able to overcome that stuff. I just think the dude don't get enough credit, and I don't give a damn about calling plays. You can have all the geniuses you want that call plays. I'll roll with this dude. I'll roll with him.
To piggyback off Ike's point, the coach right ahead of him, Kyle Shanahan, I think is viewed as smart, right? He is viewed as a smart offensive guy. He calls the plays.
And he is.
Well, he is.
He is.
No, he is. But I just mean the resume of Nick is better than Shanahan's resume. And I think that when we focus so much on the X's and O's, and remember last year at this time, pre-snap motion was a big thing we talked about at the time.
Yep.
We don't talk about that anymore because they won. So I agree, if you put Shanahan and Nick in a room, does Shanahan come up with a more creative offense than Nick? Yes. But I think that on this list and in general with head coaches, we over-prioritize that part of it and not the other parts you guys were just talking about.
Creative but also good. Kyle Shanahan.
He's a good coach, I agree. But
No. But you said he would come up with more creative offense than Nick. But it's not just that it's creative, it's also that it is good.
Well, but Nick's offense is good too.
He also blew two 10-point leads in the Super Bowl.
No, I'm not. This isn't an argument for Kyle Shanahan.
That's not even including the 28-3 lead.
This is not an argument like that Kyle Shanahan is better or worse or whatever. It's just the way that Elliott talks about it, I think, is shaded in a way that is dismissing what Kyle Shanahan is good at.
Right.
Like, you're saying it is creative and he's perceived as smart. He's actually good at it. Like, it's not just the perception that he's smart. He's actually good at it.
No, I agree with you, but I think the dismissive part you hear is, I think, like, Mike McDaniels for a long time was viewed as a great head coach. I just think we over-prioritize the schematic part of it. And so yes, I agree. I am being dismissive of what Shanahan's good at. So I think it's important, but I don't think it's as important as the things Nick's good at.
Sure. I think if our head coach had gotten the last pick in the NFL draft to be the number one ranked quarterback in the NFL, we would probably give him credit for being good at offense.
For sure. Shanahan is good at offense. I agree
with
that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You mentioned online that you're starting to do your 53-man roster projection. And it was an interesting thing that you said, that like in previous years, you would be like, how are they going to get down to 53? But in this year, you're almost having trouble figuring out who the 53 are that will get to 53. I was wondering, as you were figuring that out, if it shades your initial projection of how good you think they'll be this year.
So I initially, when I did the roster, I had 48 guys where I went through and thought, okay, he should make it, keep him. And then I had to go and find other people to put on the roster. So in terms of it shading my opinion, I do think what it highlights is there are a lot of unknowns on the bottom half of this roster. And, with the Eagles roster in general, obviously the top 20, 25 players, whatever, or probably more like top 20 players, are all elite. They have a lot of players that are top five in the league at their position. But as a result of losing guys in free agency, they definitely have unproven guys on the roster now. And I think what's mostly interesting to me is that normally there's two or three young players that are not rookies, that are not like just drafted guys, where you go, man, you don't want to cut that guy. Like Eli Ricks 2 years ago was that guy. You don't want to cut him. And maybe at the end of training camp, those guys will emerge. But a lot of the guys at the bottom of their roster are guys that have been in the NFL for 2 years. They were on a practice squad. Now they're on the Eagles. So there's just not, I don't think, that excitement about those guys as there were in past years. So the roster is still very good. I just think they have a lot of, they have seven or eight spots on the roster that they need players to step up in, as opposed to, 60 good players that they're going to only be able to keep 53 of them.
Elliot, before we let you go, you mentioned, we know that Ace Bailey was number one on your big board and VJ Edgecombe was two.
All the time.
Curious who you had as three and four.
So I had Trey Johnson at three. I would have taken him if it couldn't have been those two. Honestly, I didn't really have a four. Those were the only three guys I liked.
Oh, man. Kahn could nipple, man.
Nah, there was no shot. I would have traded the pick before I took him. I do have a hypothetical trade for you guys, though.
Ooh. No. What sport?
Right, so with how it's going with Ace Bailey in Utah, I do think the Sixers should call and see if they're willing to trade him, right? See if you can get him.
Hold on real quick.
Real quick, Ace. I mean, real quick, Elliot. So it. So he doesn't. He's gonna see, like, he's even hinting that he won't even go to Utah, right? And that he might sit out. And with the report that they told a top five team not to draft him because he's not going to play, and we know that it's not Utah, and we know that it's not San Antonio, and we know that it's not Dallas, so we're pretty sure that it's Philly. You would go and trade for a guy who is threatening to sit out in Utah after they already told you that he would sit out in Philadelphia.
Yes, because I think he's undervalued at this point. It's like you said, I think it was on Friday, once you make the pick, the value of it's cut in half. So currently, Ace Bailey is undervalued because of everything that's happening. So
they're not going to trade him. They're not going to trade. They knew what they were getting into.
Here's my hypothetical trade.
Okay.
Would you trade Tyrese Maxey and the Clippers future pick for Ace Bailey and Lauri Markkanen?
That is the worst idea I've heard on WIP in 3 months.
You know you're dealing with Danny Ainge, right?
Why?
Well, because Utah wouldn't do that.
Can I tell you, Ace Bailey is never going to be as good as Tyrese Maxey is right now. Never.
You might be right about that. You might be right about that.
Okay. So we're trading a draft pick and Tyrese Maxey for a guy, by the way, Lauri Markkanen, probably also not as good as Tyrese Maxey is. Like, what are we doing?
I think that's debatable. I do think Lauri Markkanen this time last year had more value. He didn't have a great year. But he also does fit better with the other pieces. I don't super care that they have a bunch of guards because you just let them figure it out. But Lauri Markkanen would have an obvious position on this team. He could be the
four
of them, right?
So he would. I would not trade for Ace Bailey.
Okay, but also you're selling high on Tyrese. I don't know. I think it makes sense.
You're not selling high on Tyrese. You're not selling high on Tyrese.
I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is right now.
But you know, if you traded him now, you are selling high on him. Your trade is not selling high on. Yeah, but your trade is not selling high on him.
I think it is. What if I told you before the draft that they would trade Tyrese for the number five pick in Lauri Markkanen?
But the number five pick is Ace Bailey, who I don't think is going to be that good.
Right, it's the player.
Right. But I do think he's going to be good. So that's why.
That's the disconnect. Yes.
No. I hesitate to ask you this. What do you think the best movie since the year 2000 is?
So I'm bad at listing my favorite movies. I always forget which ones I like. But I do think The Truman Show is a great movie.
That was definitely
easily in the 90s.
That was in the
90s. Easily the 90s.
Oh, really? Was it? Wow.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in college. Yeah, I don't know. I was in school when I saw that.
Was Man on the Moon in the 90s?
It's a Michael Jackson song.
No, Man on the Moon is a movie about Andy Kaufman, and it was in the 2000s, I think. Yeah. All right. Thank you,
Elias. Yeah, no problem.
Man in a Mirror.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every day. And on the podcast, he usually sticks to the Eagles, which is an enormous bonus.
Yeah.
So you don't think I should tweet that hypothetical trade?
Well, go ahead if you want. Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, the Eagles' elitism was showing with your top 10 important athletes in Philadelphia, too, yesterday.
Yeah, that as well.
Well, I know you're mad none of the Phillies were on it besides Painter, but I think that's just
weird.
Well,
it was very stupid.
It was a weird list.
Yeah, it was an odd list.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
All right. All right, Elliot.
All right. Goodbye. I'll talk to you.
There he is, Elliot Shoreparks. He wants to trade for Ace Bailey because he's not showing up in Utah, so he cannot show up here.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know who his representation is, but...
Oh, dude, you got to see. I sent Jack a video of his agent earlier.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah. That's terrible advice, man.
It's not good advice.
Terrible advice, man. A, you're trying to play hardball with Danny Ainge. That's not going to work. You're not going to bully Utah into doing anything.
Absolutely not.
So he's just wasting a year or whatever you're planning to do. He's just wasting... I don't get it, dude. Go there... Listen, I'm pretty sure Donovan Mitchell wasn't happy he went to Utah.
No.
Initially.
Yeah.
But you get there, you do what you got to do, and then you'll get traded eventually. They trade everybody eventually.
Yeah.
Every brother that goes out there gets traded except for Karl Malone. Everybody else pretty much leaves.
Yeah, you'll get a chance.
If you're a star player, and you don't want to be there, You wait till after you get the max, and then you ask to be traded.
If you want to play chicken with Danny Ainge,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Nope.
And by the way, trying to get him to sell low on you after they just spent the number 5 pick on you is not going to work.
Not going to work, man.
And you're going to give up $50 million?
Right.
Which is what he's
guaranteed. Is that what he's guaranteed?
Yeah, he has five years, about $10 million a year. He's getting bad advice.
Yeah.
Just show up.
Yeah, that's why you can't. I don't know who it is, but close friends and relatives, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Can't be your agents.
Yeah, come on, man.
215-592-9494. Steve in Marlton, you're on WIP. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First-time caller of your show. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
What's up, Steve?
That may be the most ridiculous trade proposal I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was so happy to give it to him.
How are you selling high on Maxey, getting back a role player and a guy who was the second fiddle on Rutgers?
Go ahead.
Okay. The reason I was calling about the Phillies and your poll, I don't feel any better or worse because I was always kind of optimistic coming in. I'll tell you why.
I think that's fair.
When Soto was signed, everybody was like, well, now they're the odds-on favorite. They could possibly overtake the Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see it that way. I saw the Mets as a team. When you look back at when Soto was on San Diego in 22, they had a better bullpen, they had a better starting rotation, and they had a better lineup around them, and it wasn't enough. The Mets starting pitching coming into the season, even with their additions of the mid-range starters they made, to me wasn't enough. I said the Phillies would win the division because the Mets pitching was not going to be good and that the Braves were going to take a step back because they didn't have Strider and Acuna for at least a month. The only thing that's changed is not so much where I expected the Phillies to be, but where the Mets pitching has brought them. The Mets pitching has kind of overachieved a little bit. That can come back down to earth. But I still think the Phillies, despite their flaws, and there's a few, they're still, what, 2 games out of the best record in the National League? Without Harper, without Nola, and without Alvarado.
Yeah, I would bet. By the way, I don't think anybody on the Phillies is outperforming their ability. And I think the entire Mets pitching staff is. So, like, I think if the Phillies don't finish with a better record than the Mets, then that is a failure of the Phillies. I think they are good enough to have a better record than the Mets this year. I just think they should.
Well, and now they lost, what, Griffin Canning last night?
They did. They lost Canning last
night. On top of Manaea.
And Achilles, by the way.
On top of Manaea got shut down with the elbow inflammation. So
yeah. Steve, give us your...
Is Montas back yet? I heard his... Yeah.
Montas is back. He pitched on earlier this week. He actually pitched well, but he's not a difference maker.
Steve, give us your favorite movie since the year 2000.
So this is going to be an obscure movie. I actually just saw it last week. It's a Netflix movie called Strong. I don't know if you ever heard
Strong?
Of it.
Strong? Never heard of it.
Tyler Perry. I saw it. Yeah, Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, Netflix. Yeah, it's good?
Yeah.
It's a Tyler Perry movie, but it's not what you would expect from Tyler Perry. The movie, it was outstanding. If you get a chance to look at it. It was a great, great movie.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
I still struggle with the movies that go straight to, like, the streaming sites.
That's what a lot of them are doing, though.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, they're even the ones that are out in the theaters, a lot of times they're on streaming 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I just think they got to be in the theater.
You don't even go to that theater.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just the principle.
real quick,
yeah.
How do you think those Mets fans are feeling about Juan Soto now?
Yeah,
probably pretty good.
Yeah,
okay.
He's no longer Juan Soto.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. First month of the season, we're ready to trade him back. Yeah. Give him back.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's looking pretty good.
1 month into a 15-year deal.
Yeah.
Still going to be a DH in 2 years, but probably a pretty good DH.
Pretty damn good DH. Yeah.
You probably don't want him in the field anyway.
Yeah. No. Coming up next, Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast.
Oh, looking forward to that.
Let's talk about the Sixers picked up a couple of players yesterday, one in the second round, one as an undrafted free agent. Talk about those guys. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games, always better with crab fries. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. The official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. Do you feel better about the Phillies now than you did when the season started? This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, as we always are on Fridays. Big games always better with crab fries. Online at chickiesandpeets.com, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. And the official meteorologist of the WIP Afternoon Show, like it or not, is one Tornado Shapiro. Tornado.
Yeah, I told you, baby, don't worry about it. I got to go in the air and see you right after. Hey, you know I love you.
Hey!
Yep.
Hey,
Tornado.
The heat wave is over, friends. The shut-ins have survived. It's safe for your pets, your elderly, and your infirm. Time to leave the free air condition of the library. Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
You gotta like the sound of that after a brutal week. Chelsea wears a Speedo and the Phillies can't score in a Houston prison with a fistful of 20s. 26 and two-thirds innings. You know, I had a drought like that once. I was in the Midwest, very similar to the old Dust Bowl of the 1930s. I worked out at KDDRY the Parts. Weather gal by the name of Bertha Blue, she blew in and broke the streak. We called her the Dustbuster. Cloudy tonight, but still warm, low of 67. Ike, you got to help this team. The Phillies might need some of your blue chew.
I knew it.
Put some pine tar back on the old Louisville slugger. Rejuvenate the lumber, friend. Fritzy.
Wow.
Are they squeezing the bat too much there, Fritzy?
They might be.
Come on, this isn't hard, fellas. Yes, the Phillies limp over to Atlanta with their tail between their legs. You know, I was humbled once in Atlanta back in the late 90s. I was out to dinner with Chief Nakahoma and his wife, Marjorie. No reservations, just walked right in. The Chief had the tomahawk steak. Marjorie had a little problem in the bathroom. There was no TP. You know,
get
the
it.
Brains... They once had a fella by the name of Bruce Chen. In fact, he played for the Braves and the Phillies and the Mets and the Expos and the Reds and the Astros and the Red Sox and the Orioles and the Rangers and the Royals and the Indians. Chen got passed around more than a doobie at Hollis Thomas's house. Come on! Speaking of Hollis, one night we were out at Bacchanalia in Atlanta. You familiar, Ike?
Yeah, I think I heard of it.
Well, you ought to be. It was me, Ike, Hollis, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Ray Diddy. By the way, no. Ray doesn't like to be called Diddy anymore. No pictures, please. So Jimmy Buckets and Tobias were both hitting on a hot weather gal by the name of Sarah the Setting Sun. Sarah ended up leaving with Tobias, and Jimmy couldn't get over it. You could hear him screaming, "Tobias Harris over me!" Well, we all came back the next night. It was me, Ike, Jane Fonda, Dominique Wilkins, and Jeremiah Trotter. So Trot sits down. Right away, Ike says something to Jane Fonda about seeing Ted Turner in her leg warmers, and then he points at Trot. Fonda goes after Trot. Trot got tossed even before his salad. Saturday, not quite 90, 50-50. Dance of tea storms. Again, make sure the gals are drinking their fluids. Come on.
All right. What is wrong with you, man?
The Sixers pick is from the Bahamas.
Yeah, VJ Edgecombe.
I used to run with a Bahamian weather gal. I worked there.
Of course.
Down in Freeport, I worked there for a summer. WWBAHA, the Reef. Ba ba boom. Talk about some Nassau knockers. A voluptuous beauty, but nothing but trouble. You know it's pink, right?
Whoa.
The sand. It's pink sand.
Oh, right.
Bahamas.
The sand. Yes.
That relationship was short-lived. I don't need that kind of Bahama drama. Did you ever snorkel naked with the dolphins, Spike?
Can you get us the forecast, please?
Sunday, more of the same, not quite 90. 50-50 shot of sea storms. Flip a coin, son. Heads, you're happy, and tails, you're all wet. Hopefully a shower will cool us off, but I can't guarantee it. You're only getting this kind of courageous forecast right here. And the name is Tornado Shapiro. Finally, some outro music.
Nope. 215-5.
He said flip a coin, by the way.
Wow. Yeah.
That was his weather forecast.
Yeah, flip a coin.
Yeah.
Well, it's 50-50.
Yep.
Most accurate.
Yeah.
He's going to be right.
Yeah, doesn't miss.
215-592-9494. Brian in South Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Listen all the time, calling a little bit, get on. Good show. I don't know how I'm going to follow that one up, but I jumped right on the phone after Ike put a contract out on everyone in Philly, Ted, because he was on that Ike juice, of course, with the chewing. And I would definitely say, I mean, all right, how about the ESC thing? All right, would you trade one of these guards? Would you trade
not now.
High stock right now? Not at all.
Not right no. now. Not no. right this second. Just,
right.
I mean,
right.
don't.
Do,
well, don't you want to wait to see how it works out and who's like? Don't you want to see how good Jared McCain is first? Don't you want to see Edgecombe first? Like, you need four guards. They have four guards.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just a little out. I'm a little out on the choices. So honestly, if you ask me if I want to see how their choices are going to go out, yeah. I might say no on that.
All right.
But
okay.
I think the Phillies. I think we got that the classic Philadelphia.
Oh my God.
Philadelphia loyalty for some strange reason, which you can see in a couple people. But I think this happens once in a while, where like whomever the management is falls in love with a couple people, and now I feel like. So the answer to the Phillies question is I feel worse, and I bet I'll continue to feel worse. Because I don't feel like there's a hot spark that jumps them into like some sort of like.
Hey Brian, you start the weekend early.
A hot what?
You start the weekend a little early.
Yeah, always. I'm heading to the beach.
You're driving, really? Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope you're riding. You said riding, right?
What's your favorite movie since 2000?
Hangover.
Dark Knight. I saw it 15 times.
Yeah, it's
another
answer.
Great one.
And the last thing, all about this elitist Eagles thing. I'm just venting here because if Harper was on Instagram, Harper's on Instagram doing coffee, and AJ's on the sideline doing a book. So I think
I think
Phillies would get the Eagles would get crushed if anybody in the Eagles would do that.
Do what?
Do what?
You don't think Eagles are on social
coffee,
media?
Make coffee on TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah, make coffee on TikTok. The Eagles social media is by far better than the Phillies. Do you follow them? You guys
okay,
watch
bro.
Them,
sure.
Them?
Yeah, of course.
What are we
bro,
for?
Bro, right. Darius Slay went on Micah Parsons' podcast the day after an Eagles loss and said that the other guy in the secondary wasn't a leader. Like, are you being serious?
Perfect. And this is my point. They handle it better. They're still driven. They're motivated. They're going after...
No other team's motivated. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. He made TikToks in the off season. Like, who cares?
Nobody. Matter of fact, I'm mad I got
to
it late.
Obviously, they don't care. That's my point. Obviously, they don't care.
Why?
Why don't the Phillies care? That they don't care?
Yeah, why don't the Phillies care?
Because they're not making any of the moves. Like, you're
right.
talking about all day.
We're talking about the players.
What are we doing?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's hard to argue.
No. Yeah, it wasn't worth it. That was not worth it.
I know.
So Sunday is a big day in that we have heard about DeCamera versus Fritz for seemingly months now.
Yeah. A year, feels like.
And we have the first athletic matchup between Jack Fritz and Joe DeCamera Sunday.
Now, would you say it's an athletic matchup because it's golf?
Ah!
I'd say it's athletic, but not a sport.
Okay.
Interesting. All right.
We'll parse our way through that
Yeah,
one.
Well, it's very easy to parse. I've found it.
I'm struggling to parse.
So it's nine holes, you versus DeCameron?
Yeah, in match play. So it's not stroke play, which means like if I beat him by four strokes in a hole, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So because there's only one up.
How do you feel about that?
I don't love it. It's going to keep it more competitive.
Yeah.
Which is why we're doing it.
Which is why we're doing it.
I want, okay, in my head, I want at least 6-3.
Well, yeah. So in my head, I wanted to end in five.
Yeah, I was going to say it's over after five.
Oh, are you going to play the full nine holes?
If we get it done.
Because I want a full score. That's my point.
Yeah.
I guess
sure
if you win 5-0.
If you're going to play the full nine holes, then you may as well do stroke play.
Well, I mean, we'll probably play the full nine holes, but it'll be done after. I don't know how it's all going to work out.
I'm saying if you win the first six holes, what's the point of playing the other three holes?
No, I know. Are you for fun.
Are you guys using a cart or walking?
I think we're using a cart.
You think the camera's going to walk nine holes?
Well, either of them, to be honest.
I'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll be in the 90s Sunday.
Is it? I thought it was going to be like high 80s, maybe settling in that 82
now,
to 83
Does it
range.
Make you more nervous that Ike and I are coming?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I don't need that. But
90 Sunday.
Really? All right. I was only worried about the heat for pitching. I mean, if it's super hot for pitching, that's going to be worse for me.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm looking forward to it. My game, I feel, is pretty.
Golf I had marked as an easy Fritz win.
Yeah, and I think the camera's in the same boat.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on yesterday. He didn't seem too confident in his golf game.
Okay. Golf, you mean?
Dude, he's trying to do the old reverse psychology thing with you. He wants you to come in feeling confident. Now, granted, you're still going to smack him Sunday with the golf thing. But his whole idea is now that you're closer to doing actual competitions, he wants to be humble.
Yeah, I know, which is very odd.
He started off with a lot of
bluster.
Yeah, a lot of talk, a lot of trash talk.
Well, he said yesterday, never
Boban and all that other stuff.
He said yesterday when I was on, he's like, yeah, I never said I was going to win. And I was like, and he's like, I think I'm going to win. I'm like, well,
no.
It's been a lot of talk about how elite of an athlete.
Well, maybe it's like you with the Phillies. Maybe he's like, you like to set the bar low with the Phillies.
Well, yeah, sure.
And let me tell you this. He is, without a doubt, shaken with the lack of support he's getting on the morning show.
I would be shaken, too.
He does not like that.
I would be shaken, too.
He was complaining all day yesterday.
Yes, he does not like that because he doesn't have a safe place.
No. Well,
I mean, we're coming after him. He can't even have a safe place in his own show.
No, Richie hates him more than we do.
And I even got Rhea yesterday.
Oh, really?
Now, Rhea's obviously pro-Joe.
Yeah.
Just for the bit.
Right.
But, I got her on the throwing thing where I said, you know, like, I was trying to have catches with my kids growing up after she called me soft.
Oh,
yeah. I got a big laugh. So I broke Rhea.
There you go.
Well, that'll be on Sunday. And
it'll be revealed, I guess, 7:20 on
Monday morning?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I won't tweet about it.
Yeah, we can't.
I don't.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah.
Let me tell you, if you lose, I'm coming in.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I know. I'm looking forward to it. I want that first drive to get out of the way.
Get that first drive out of the way.
Get the nerves out.
Yeah.
Get the nerves out.
There's nerves!
There's 100% nerves.
Yeah,
man,
come on.
Buck up, man.
There's always nerves.
No nerves.
There's no nerves when you go to Colonial Hyundai either. There shouldn't be any nerves. No, come on. It'll be fast, easy, and better. Faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai, a Colonial. They got a beautiful new dealership. They got a staff ready to help you. They got the cars are there ready to give you 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. 20%? You heard that right. That's up to 10 grand off. And you don't have to be nervous about your trade either. No. Piece of junk, maybe. They're going to give you $6,500 guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. So no nerves there either. No nerves either because every Hyundai is going to leave Colonial with 3 years of complimentary maintenance and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online, 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. In-stock vehicles only. Tax and tags additional. Offers can't be combined. See dealer for full details. Offer expires June 30th, 2025. All right, so Sixers on Wednesday night select VJ Edgecombe with the third pick in the draft. Last night, they had the 35th overall pick, the fourth pick in the second round, and they get Jani Broome, who I had not heard of, is a center at Auburn. He projects to be their center power forward, depending on how he shoots in the NBA. He had a monster season. Like, I was not aware of him. I don't watch college basketball.
Yeah, Auburn. Yep.
Yeah, Auburn. He would average 18 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. Yeah. Was a finalist for the Wooden Award. Is it, like, from a motor standpoint, looks like a monster. He said that he actually met with the Sixers 2 years ago when he was considering coming out early. They told him what he needed to work on, so he went back to college and worked on all those things. So, like, the negatives about the guy are, you know, anytime you have a four-year senior, mm-hmm. you start to think, you know, that's why he's not going in the first round. Physically, he is limited in that he doesn't have a very big, like, vertical leap. Like, he's not a big jumper or anything like that. He's not particularly fast, but he dominated college basketball. So I think what they're doing is they want guys who are hard workers, who are good culture guys, which he is both of those things. And I have to be honest with you, you hear about him not being a great athlete, but then you watch his college highlights, and he was bullying all of those guys. Yeah. Like, he looked like a grown-up playing with children.
Well, he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 22 years old. Yeah. But I don't know. I like, you know, it's the 35th pick in the draft. We've certainly had our plenty of guys who have, you know, what they say is upside by their physical tools or whatever. But I don't know. You take a shot on a guy, you know, I don't think you want to take a 22-year-old limited athletically with a top 5 pick, but with the 35th pick in the draft, I don't know. Like, I like that they're doubling down on hard worker culture guys, and 35th pick in the draft doesn't bother me.
I got no problem with the kid. Congratulations. He's a Sixer. I don't know how much optimism I have. He's going to be a nice role player.
Yep.
If he doesn't mind doing the dirty work, he could be somebody that we love because he comes in and he doesn't need to have plays called for him. He always seems to be in the right place, making the smart, heady play. You love those types of players. I don't want a team full of guys like this because, quite frankly, those guys are nice to sort of have and compliment initially. But when it doesn't lead to wins and you need guys to get buckets and all those things, then being great character guys and system guys that want to fit in, it doesn't do a whole lot for you. Eventually, you reach your ceiling, and that's all that you are.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying in the second round. Yeah. I don't. And you know what? We haven't had enough of – we're supposed to have the guys that do all the stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it is the rest of the roster where we were deficient last year. You had Eric Gordon, who didn't want to be there, Kyle Lowry, who's 100 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Caleb Martin, who couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So, like,
but we fall in love with those guys, the Kelly Oubres. Like, we fall in love with these guys until we need them in the playoffs.
Well, but in the playoffs, I'm not worried about the seventh. Like, I want the seventh guy to get in there and cause havoc.
Yes.
Like, I want a seventh guy to be the guy in there to go get a rebound that needs to get.
Yeah.
The buckets, like, if Embiid and Paul George, if they have $150 million in those three guys,
yeah.
If those guys aren't the guys that are hitting shots in the playoffs, then we're screwed in.
It's less about him. I'm using him as the example.
Yep.
It's more about the McCains
yeah.
and the Edgecombs. Like, yeah. like, and even Maxey. Like, you sort of start feeling differently about Maxey. Remember when Maxey first got here, he was anti-Ben Simmons, so everybody loved him, right? He's a great kid. He smiles. He works hard. He just want to be a part of the team. And now we're like, Maxey, we're going to trade this dude. We've seen the best of him already. And I got to look at the team and almost project not having the two guys, PG and Embiid. So when I'm building a team moving forward, I'm saying, okay, if I don't have these guys, now I just got a team full of hard workers, and do I max out at 41 wins, 42 wins? Let me ask you this real quick, and I'll move on from the Ace Bailey situation. I don't believe the Sixers didn't take Ace Bailey because of talent. I believe they didn't want to deal with this. Like, you got to make a pick with a guy, and the last thing they wanted to do was make a pick with a guy who doesn't want to be here and deal with this stuff. So I say that to say, did we get the best player, or did we get a guy that we're like, it's a safe pick? Did we get the safe pick there versus having a guy that is truly going to be a difference maker?
I I truly, I say this. I don't know what Ace Bailey, aside from making hard shots, I don't know what Ace Bailey is better at than VJ Edgecombe. He's not a better athlete. He's not a better ball handler. He's not a better shooter. Like, I think, like, we have this idea of what we think Ace Bailey is compared. Remember.
Now, y'all realize every scout had him ranked as the third best player in the draft.
But that's not true. Early on. But you look at big boards at the end, and it was like he was 5'6". Like,
yeah, but how much of that was because of what he and his guys were maneuvering?
I can tell you that there is a lot of skepticism about Ace Bailey, the basketball player. Like, there's a lot of skepticism about that. And I have heard from enough guys who are questioning, like, his free throw rate is too low. He doesn't get himself open shots. He shot 69. Like, even the shooting part of it, which he's supposed to be great at.
Yeah.
Like, he shot 34% from three. And like that's not good.
I agree, but all that stuff was there. That was already there when he was still being ranked there.
Yeah, but
it was when he wouldn't do interviews and workouts and all this other stuff that the negative stuff started being put out there about Ace Bailey. I didn't hear all this stuff prior to that.
Well, but I don't think that there's serious talk about it prior to that. Like, I think once the I can say this. As soon as the Sixers got the third pick, it was not like it was not a lock that they were taking Ace Bailey at that moment. At least in everyone that I talked to.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, forget whether the Sixers were going to take. I'm just saying how people viewed him. Like, he was pretty much viewed. Even Jay Billis was still saying the upside on the kid. This was draft night. Listening to him, he was saying the upside on the kid is of a number one overall pick. All I'm saying is I hope the Sixers, I understand why they did it. I got no problem with not taking Ace Bailey. I'm just saying I feel like they didn't take him more so because they didn't want to deal with the headache versus he's not a good basketball player.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I don't know that it is or that it isn't. I can tell you that Morey, as a general manager, would not make a decision that way. Now, if you're an owner and you've already had James Harden didn't want to come back and then Ben Simmons didn't want to come back, the headache of then the number three pick in the draft after the season that you had doesn't want to show up here.
Yeah.
And by the way, depending on how serious they are, if he's really going to sit out, then you're screwed again. So I don't know. But I also know that every time we talk about upside, you have to think about what are the odds that the guy hits the upside. And you have to think about, like,
isn't that what we're doing with Edgecombe?
Well, yeah, but like, take Jaylen Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown came into the league as didn't have much of a handle, didn't have much of a shot, played 16 minutes a game his first year.
Yeah.
16 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And ended up winning finals MVP. And I think in part because they bet on a guy who would work hard enough to reach his potential. So, like, potential.
Well, he still was the number three pick in the draft.
Yes, but he still played 16 minutes a game.
They were a good team, though.
Yes.
But I mean, he got drafted by a good team is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Had he got drafted by a bad team, he would have played more than 16 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. But he had huge weaknesses. Like, he was a head-scratcher as the number three pick in the draft for a lot of people. So I guess my point is that to a certain extent, yes, you can be talented, but you also have to work to eliminate your deficiencies and get better. And there's plenty of players like who have plenty of who's the guy that the Heat drafted years ago, the one-on-one guy
from the Heat.
Yeah, the Heat got after they were bad that one year.
The dude from Duke.
No.
Not Justice Winslow.
No.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A great one-on-one player.
A
great bucket getter.
Shabazz Napier.
No. He's like a wing.
Recently, in the last 5 years?
No. Last 15 years.
Okay.
He
didn't stick with them?
He played there for a while. Hold on. You'll remember him as soon as I say his name.
Who that was?
Hang on. I know there's somebody in their car bashing the... Michael Beasley.
Oh, Beasley, yeah.
Super talented.
Yeah.
Never became anything.
Well, Beasley's he's a little off.
Well, so it's a guy who's not showing up to the team that just drafted him.
I understand that. I understand that because he didn't want to be there. I understand why he's doing that. I'm past that part. I'm just saying what is that? So that means he's not going to reach his potential because he doesn't want to play in Utah?
No, I'm saying that it can speak to his ability to reach his potential.
Mm. I don't know.
Of course, sure it does.
Well, anything can speak to his ability.
Yes,
not to make,
yes, that's not, why this
but,
is hard.
But not wanting to play for a team where you're going to have to possibly come off the bench versus being somewhere where you could be either the top one or two go-to guy on offense, because that's what your specialty is scoring, and wanting to be in that situation so that you can actually play, I don't view that as a negative.
I do.
I don't.
Yeah, I do.
I don't. Plenty of players do it. Players want to be somewhere where they're going to be able to be at their best. It's not his job to be like, I understand why we as Sixers fans wanting to come in, be a team guy, take whatever role, and go win. But from his individual standpoint, he has no tie to any city or any team. He's thinking about himself and what's going to be best for him moving forward in his future. And as an 18-year-old coming out, like, didn't Bryce reclassify early so he could hit free agency early?
Yeah.
Something like that. So that's, how's that any different than a player trying to, like, maneuver? Because it's about the money. That's what it is. I don't think he dislikes a city. He just wants to get to a situation where he's going to maximize his financial ability to get money. Like, that's what he wants to do. And he can't do that on the Sixers. That doesn't mean he can't reach his potential.
I disagree. I disagree on that. Because
I'm just saying that's what he feels.
That's what he feels.
That's what he feels.
Yeah,
that's
for
what
sure.
he feels.
High Hope Shacky Baseball Report is next.
Oh, yeah.
215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Hey, Jack, aren't you hanging out with Joe Conklin sometime soon?
Of course I am. Of course I am. Join me at the Ocean City Boardwalk on Saturday, July 12th for Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra. I'll obviously be out front signing copies of Ring the Bell.
Not telling jokes?
No.
Okay.
We got Robbie E. there, too. It's a huge, huge night.
Big night.
Yeah. Down at the Ocean City Board. Go to joeconklin.com for tickets.
JoeConklin.com!
This is a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.